Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day, we remember what you did, how you prepared, how you harvested, and how you brought forth great things from that. We ask you on this day, and a day so far removed from that first day of Pentecost, bring about the idea that you still work. And we still want you to work in our hearts and our minds. In your son's name we pray. Amen. This one scripture verse we want to take a look at from your second reading. From your second reading, Acts chapter 2, only one verse. And it is, let's read this, when the day of Pentecost arrived. They were all together in one place. All right, so this whole entire sermon on one scripture verse foundation. On one scripture foundation. And taking a look at what's around Wilmer, I'm beginning to see a lot of things, and I'm beginning to wish for something right now. I'm beginning to wish for this. Right? I remember days growing up when you used to be able to go to the field, pick it right out of the field, take it home. Can I say shuck it? Is that the right word? I don't know. I don't know what y'all say up here. So you shuck it and you put it in the water and you boil it. You put it on the grill. It doesn't matter. Sweet corn is amazing. And so I remember growing up on this stuff. And so I'm beginning to really, like, okay, I'm really, you know, it's like this high. I'm really getting really hungry for it, right? I'm kind of going back and okay, if that is what I'm looking forward to. Nothing like a 1957 John Deere 720, huh? Kind of like what y'all are taking out right now, right? All right, to plow those fields. Take a little bit longer. Nowadays, we're looking at a modern tractor. It can probably, what, do 10 times in just one pass? And so you see out in the fields farmers making sure that they're if they want crops, that means there are certain things you have to do to get ready for it. And so in my mind, you know, if I'm hungry for what's going to be on the plate, the question is, what do farmers have to do to plant it out? Plant? Anything before that? Plow? Buy the corn? Buy the fertilizer? Put the gasoline in your tractor. There's a lot of different things to plan, just to get there, just to put the sweet corn on my plate. There's a lot of different steps. Farmers just don't go outside and say, hey, I didn't even sow it yet, and already we have corn. Great. No, they spend a lot of time putting the seed in the ground. And the seed comes up because the farmer has tilled it, he has cared for the land, and the harvest reaps a little later. The corn doesn't grow overnight. And so looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we like to focus on the day of Pentecost, where for some of us that's tongues of fire on our heads. We like to focus on that part. We like to focus on the idea of somehow speaking in tongues, which for some of you is probably what you do a lot of because no one understands you, right? All right, I'm the only one. All right, so so sometimes you can speak to other people and they're just looking at you kind of weird. Am I speaking in tongues? But no, it's this... the day of Pentecost didn't come around just by accident. It didn't come around just by accident. And taking a look at things, when Acts chapter 2, verse 1 started, do you notice the key phrase for me is they were all together in one place. They were all together in one place. And so, very interesting, here Jesus rises from the dead. He shows them, hey, it's me. And a couple of days later, they're out fishing. They're out fishing way north in the northern part of Israel. And Jesus appears to them and teaches them. He teaches the 500 all at one time. But Jesus still comes back to Scripture. All right? So if we take a look at a couple different things here, if God chooses to work through his people, then what's the focus? The focus of the early church. And so if we take a look at this, Luke chapter 24, this is what Jesus is saying before he ascends into heaven. He says, I am sending you what my Father promised. Wait here in the city until you receive power from heaven. So what are his instructions? Stay in the city. They went fishing afterwards. Did they listen? Well, yes, they did listen. Jesus says, tell your disciples I'm going to Galilee. They went fishing, and then they remembered. Okay, Jesus says, get back into the city. Get back into the city. You got a job to do. All right? And so they were back in the city. And if we take a look at what was happening, remember Judas, one of the 12, betrayed Jesus to the hierarchy of the Jews. And so there were only 11. And there were 11. That's not what Jesus set up. Jesus set up 12 disciples. 12. And so before Pentecost comes, Peter says, wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute. Here we are waiting for what God is going to do and what Jesus put together, the 12, and what God put together here in the Old Testament with the 12 tribes. This 12 number is so important. Maybe we better get back to Scripture. Maybe we need to get back to this number 12. And so they're looking at two guys, and they said, okay, one of these guys needs to be with us in the company of the 12. So Peter says that the man who is going to take over for Judas, he must be one of the men who accompanied Jesus with us the entire time that the Lord Jesus was among us. This person must have been with us from the time that John was baptizing people to the day that Jesus was taken from us. So this guy named Matthias, I mean, great, two Matts, all in 12 guys, the name of Matt was very important. Don't you get that clue? God sure likes Matts, right? And so you take a look at Scripture, and Peter said, okay, God's going to do great things. God's going to do great things. But we also have to remember that what God said through Christ here, that through the 12, we need to get back to what God says in the Scripture, that there needs to be 12 of us. And the qualification is, we have to go back from the beginning and say, how many guys have been following us, not just the 12, but been following us from the days in which we were all baptized in here, starting out from the very beginning, and going to, this guy has to have been with us all the way to the end here, right here and now. He can't just be one guy that showed up last week, and all of a sudden we're going to put him up to an apostleship. So for 3 years, this guy had been following with the disciples, had been hearing the words, the teaching of Jesus, and so he had been instructed. He was a disciple. So before we take a look at the day of Pentecost, look at all the different pieces that were pieced together. And Peter here saying, we need to get back to this. We need to get it back to this. And so when we take a look at things, this, are we all looking forward to this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? One person in here is looking for sweet corn on her plate. All right, and so we take a look at, if we're ready for sweet corn to be on our plate, the harvest will come. The harvest will come. What are we doing to prepare for the harvest? What are we doing to prepare for the harvest? And so as a congregation, I ask, how are we preparing now? Are we asking God to work in us and through us? I would say, yeah. Are we on our hands and knees praying that God would work? Are we on our hands and knees and saying, God, I'm going to open Scripture. I need to learn. I need to learn. The Scripture is the most important thing ever. I need to learn from you what you said and what John recorded, because those are the words of life for me. And so just like the early church, we find that our focus, what's on the table, is what God has to say. Because that corn didn't get there by accident. What God does isn't by accident. He brings about from the planting stage to the end. We take a look at, well, God met me on the road such and such a time. God has met us on the road since the very first time you became you. And God has been following you your entire life. And for some people, it is this concept that God hasn't been there. No, he's been walking with you step by step. He's waiting for that day of harvest, and he's been knocking on that door saying, why won't you let me in? And for some of us, there is this concept that we can remember God going with us each and every day of our lives. He's never, ever, ever strayed from us, even though we like to say we strayed away from him. But God is the one who has remained faithful. We look at what he promised the disciples, the early church. God came through in each and every one of his promises. God was the one who remained faithful. Today, we need to prepare our hearts for what God has to say. God, what do we need to do in order for your harvest to take place? Because you don't really need us, but you ask us to plan to carry out the harvest, because God works through people who are not perfect. God works through people who have messed up in so many different ways, but God still uses imperfect people to spread a perfect message of his love for us. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would go with us here, that you would use each and every one of our imperfections as a strength for your glory, for that is the reason that you came, to give us new life, because we are incapable of that. And Lord God, we thank you. Lord God, we know that there is a harvest to come. We pray that we would be a part of that by searching out your word, by focusing on our prayer that focuses our lives on you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.